Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
One hot, muggy August day, I was up on the steep slope beside my house, engaged in the ongoing battle with the invasive bittersweet. I'd been working for several hours before I noticed my first mosquito. I don't know where mosquitoes had been prior to that. It wasn't as if I'd remembered to put on any kind of repellent. I had been gone for a week, and when I returned, the bittersweet had just really taken over, so I knew I had to get up there. That was my primary thought, and I didn't give insects or anything else a second thought. Well, I'm up there attacking the bittersweet, while the bittersweet is doing a very effective job of attacking me. I'm aware of this one mosquito who's whining incessantly around me, but doesn't seem that interested in biting me for some reason. Perhaps it was because I was so sweaty and dirty that the mosquito thought that it wouldn't be worth what she got out of it. Conditioned as I am, I immediately thought about all the horrible things that that mosquito might transmit. And that got me thinking. If mosquitoes can transmit all of these harmful organisms, what's to say that they can't transmit some good ones, too? Has anybody ever considered what good microorganisms, mosquitoes or ticks or other vectors, might pass on in the process of biting us? I couldn't think of any offhand. And that, as I was clinging to the side of the slope and fighting with the bittersweet, led me to think about René Dubois. René Dubois was a scientist who won the Nobel Prize in biology for what he called the doctrine of specific etiology, the idea that we were getting it wrong, looking at single organisms as causes of disease and going after them. His work impressed me, because if I looked at it logically, it made sense. What is the probability that someone who comes down with a cold or measles or something else is exposed to a pure culture of that virus or that bacteria? It makes no sense. I thought about this even more when I saw a report that scientists looking for people who may have survived rabies, instead of accepting the definition of it as an always fatal disease, have discovered that in areas of Africa where rabies is prevalent, that approximately 10% do survive. What is it about them that makes them different? I remember one speculation about a young woman who survived in the United States, that what helped her was that she was simultaneously infected by another microorganism that protected her brain. As I thought about this, the mosquito's whine didn't bother me anymore. The mosquito wasn't bothering me. The mosquito was an emotional irritant, one that I had been primed to perceive as such by the media and by studies, problem-oriented studies. I look at so many species that we vilify, whether they're mosquitoes or ticks or coyotes or wolves, snakes, spiders, and we want them gone. We want all of them gone. Just get rid of them. That's what we tell ourselves. Give us a drug. Give us a chemical that will eliminate them. And yet, time and time again, Mother Nature makes it clear that that's not the way it works. Eliminate one organism we define as a problem, and we may create another problem that's much worse. And so, I came down from the slope, unbitten, although with a couple rashy splotches that I could attribute to nettles, to say nothing of scratches where the bittersweet grabbed me before I could grab it. But all in all, it was a good day. It was a good day of interacting with some of the lesser elements in my environment. It was a good day to remember that I'm not at the top of the pyramid any more than I want to be at the top of the pyramid. I'm just part of it.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.